Getting Zen with Gen Z. Empowering, motivating, and inspiring you to live your happiest, healthiest life. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Getting Zen with Gen Z. As many of you know, jujitsu has pretty much become my life. I like to say that it's the love of my life. And last night, as I was talking on Patty's show, we were talking about how to stay motivated and become healthy. And especially in your fitness activities, I find something that you love to do, it's always easier to stick with. So I thought it would be great to have one of my coaches on, Jeff Serafin. Hi.
Hey,
how
thanks
are
for
you?
Having me here, Jen. I'm
of
doing
course.
Good.
Of course. It's just so awkward to have you here. It's so funny. I'm a little nervous, but excited. So I want people to understand. I mean, jiu-jitsu I fell in love with about 6 years ago now, which is crazy.
That's a long time.
It's been a long time. But, you know, as soon as I started it, it was something that I absolutely was passionate about. And I've been training, competing ever since, and now teaching almost about like a year and a half, 2 years or so. But explain to people exactly what jiu-jitsu is.
So jiu-jitsu is a self-defense and martial arts system that was originated in Brazil by way of Japan, by way of India. It's thousands of years old. It is one of the oldest martial arts systems. The samurai used in ancient Japan. It came to Brazil with a guy named Meitsu Mieda. He taught this system to the Gracie family in Brazil, who's the most famous family in jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. It's basically a ground fighting martial art. We do chokes, takedowns, throws, arm locks, leg locks.
All the good stuff.
It got popular because of the UFC and mixed martial arts. And almost everyone now does some sort of ground fighting if you're a professional fighter, because jiu-jitsu showed we needed that.
Right. So why do you think jiu-jitsu is a great sport or activity to get into? What would you tell somebody who wanted to do jiu-jitsu?
Jiu-jitsu is taking the best aspects of mental things like chess or art or music, because you have to play a game with your opponent in terms of when to move, how to move, understanding strategy, but then you're also having the physical aspect. So you're taking the best parts of working out, whether it's lifting weights, running, the endorphin release, and you're combining them into one thing. You're building friendships on the mat are deeper than almost anywhere you'll meet in the world, because as me and Jen know, we choke each other all the time, and when she's about to choke me and I tap and she lets go, that trust is huge. Because if she doesn't,
that's the best thing. People hear that and they're like, are you serious? This is crazy.
So jiu-jitsu is super close. You're physically super close and mentally super close with everyone you do because of the mental, physical, emotional aspect of it. So it's just, it's something that very few other activities in the world can offer.
Yeah, I love it. I always tease and joke about, and I think everyone knows now too, especially even being on Patty's show, and she says it, but she's like, you love aggressive cuddles. Like, that's what it is.
Aggressive and cuddling in pajamas.
It's the best thing. So what made you get into jiu-jitsu? Tell us a little bit about your background, kind of how you got here and started teaching.
So I've been doing jiu-jitsu almost 20 years now. I actually been following jiu-jitsu for closer to 25. I watched UFC 3 with my dad and older brother in like 1994. And I told my dad I want to do jiu-jitsu. And it took about another 5 years to find jiu-jitsu in my area. And I started when I was in high school. I went to my first class at Braulio Corral's gym. He's like my older brother. And got choked unconscious, my first ever class. Because didn't really teach me the proper ways to not go to sleep when getting choked. And I fell in love with it. Yep. And after that first class, I went home and told my dad, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. And I have been, and I've never had a real job outside of jiu-jitsu.
So. I mean, that's incredible. So when did you get your black belt?
I got my black belt in November 2010. So just coming up on 8 years ago.
Okay, awesome. Gosh, that's a long time.
A long time, yeah.
Wow. So when did you open up Serafin Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu?
We started in May of 2008 in Evanston. I was teaching in Champaign before then with my coach, Jack McVicker, and teaching some college clubs at the University of Illinois where I went. But I got invited to come up and teach in Evanston in 2008.
Okay.
So I've been there since.
So where, and you started with at Altfit first,
yeah,
Altfit, right?
Fitness in Evanston, Evanston Boxing Club. And then that gym closed 3 years ago. And then we've been at our standalone location in Evanston since.
Wow. That's crazy. 3 years.
3 years.
That's crazy.
Yep.
So what
in teaching, I mean, do you, I know primarily that's your focus is teaching classes and other people who are going to competition and things like that. And you're also teaching boxing, correct?
Yep. Boxing as well.
But how do you feel as far as, are you more passionate about teaching versus the competition aspect for yourself? Or what's that kind of balance?
I love to compete. Yeah. That's why I got into the sport. But I love to teach. But I just love to spread the art of jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. So if it's I can compete and show people, like I have friends who've never trained jiu-jitsu but have come watch me do fights like Fight to Win or professional MMA, teaching my students, showing people, you know, self-defense clients and people who don't want to compete or don't want to fight but are losing weight. We have like a student, Mark, who just started with us.
Oh, Mark.
And in the last year, he's lost 170 pounds.
That's crazy.
And in the last like few months he's been training with us, he's lost his last like 60. And I don't, you know, down the road he may compete, but he's an older guy in his 40s. He got in such good shape. He's changed his life.
Yeah.
He's made a bunch of friends already. Like seeing someone like that embrace jiu-jitsu, or like someone like you coming off the street, you didn't want to be a fighter. You didn't want to be a competitor. You just want to learn something, be healthier, get in better shape. And seeing people like that, that's what I really have a passion for.
Mm-hmm.
Like our competitors and our guys and girls who are going to be fighters and champions, they're great. And I love that aspect, but they're easy. They're easy to motivate. You just tell them what to do. They show up. It's the person who I didn't know was going to be super tough or motivated, and they change their life through jiu-jitsu. That's what my passion is.
That's the best thing ever. Yeah. You know, it's funny. When I first started, so Ilya, I like to blame Ilya. Ilya Bodnia owns Ilya's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in Highland Park, and he is one of your black belts.
He's my second black belt, yep.
And I met him when he was a purple belt at the time, and I was doing boxing and lifting and stuff, personal training with him. And you know, he would talk about this jiu-jitsu thing, and I'm like, what is this? What? I don't know about it. So about a year into it, finally, he was like, listen, I think this is something you would really like. Let's just try it. So we started doing it, and, you know, I instantly fell in love. But he's like, if you want to get better at it, you have to join, you know, a school. And that's when I, you know, came out and met you and encouraged, obviously, eventually Ilya opened up his own school. But I think what drew me most to it was, even going on, like with stressful things in life, once you go on the mat, you can't think about anything else. You cannot have anything else in your mind. Whereas lifting and stuff like that, I feel like you can think about things still. But it was that time away where I had to focus on getting choked or, you know, my arm could be broken or whatever could happen. But if I wasn't focusing, something serious, you know, a serious injury could happen. So it was one of those things when I'd get off the mats, it was like whatever I was dealing with prior seemed like nothing because I just survived that training.
Yeah, it had been pushed back 90 minutes or 2 hours.
I mean, it's the most incredible thing. And I think that's what I try and explain to people. And people get a little intimidated with, I'm not in shape for jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
But I say the best thing to get in shape is to just do jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. I mean, over the years, I've had Division I athletes. We've had Ironman triathletes.
Mm-hmm.
We've had, you know, any kind of athletic background you had. And they come in on the mat, and maybe they're not struggling as much as someone who's not a good athlete, but everyone struggles when they start.
Right.
Because jiu-jitsu is so different physically than running or lifting or boxing or swimming. And I always kind of compare it to swimming because people have an understanding of swimming is that you can run a marathon, but if you don't know how to swim well, one lap in the pool and you want to die.
Oh, yeah.
And because your whole body's moving in a different way. In jiu-jitsu, it's like you're swimming on the mat, but then you have another person who's trying to fight you while you're swimming. So it's super tiring. And no matter what kind of shape you're in, so you don't need to be in shape to do jiu-jitsu. You have to be mentally ready to do jiu-jitsu.
Yes,
and
exactly.
If you're mentally ready, no matter what your fitness level is, you can come in and say, hey, I need to take a break here. I need to get water here. It's the mental side that you have to say, I'm going to come in and try this and get outside of my comfort zone.
Right.
That's what you need.
Yeah. Definitely. It's definitely an experience. But, you know, I think our gym is super welcoming and people can come in and feel super comfortable. And I mean, a lot of that is from you, you know, as a coach. I know, you know, coming to you, you're like my brother. And
for
it's funny because people are always like, oh, Jeff, I don't know. He's quiet and I don't know how to kind of, you know, take him in. I'm like, just talk to him. I'm like, he's amazing. I'm like, I go up, give him hugs. The guys are like, well, I want hugs from Jeff. I'm like, well, go ahead, give him a hug. But I've just really been able to open up and talk to you about anything in life. And I know it always sticks with me. Something that you say is, you know, being a good coach is being basically a friend on and off the mat.
100%.
Like you're there supportive of everything. And I know, I'm sure you hear a lot of different stories and people coming to you about stuff.
Always.
As I mean, I'm used to that from being an esthetician and doing Reiki. Yeah. And I always say that my sessions turn into like therapy sessions, basically, with people.
I think that's any personal trainer, coach, anyone yeah. who's on a one-on-one with someone like that, and you get to know each other.
For sure.
It's going to go beyond whatever just that is.
Yeah.
And especially because of jiu-jitsu, because we do get so close to each other physically, emotionally, mentally. You develop a relationship, whether it's like a therapist and patient, a mm-hmm. brother and a sister. You develop these relationships where you can't explain them to people who don't train.
Right.
Especially because how fast you can develop friends and how fast you get close to people. I'm someone who I always joke with my wife and with my friends, if I didn't grow up with someone, the odds of me becoming friends with them if they don't do jiu-jitsu are probably zero. But if they do jiu-jitsu, it's probably about 95% that I'm going to become friends with them.
Right, right.
So it's like, you just, because you, like, I trust.
Jiu-jitsu people are just, yeah, you know, cooler,
I trust them right away.
Right.
Like if someone walks in with cauliflower ears, I'm like, I trust that guy. You know, and if they, and they walk in and they're too, you know, no, they don't have a bruise on them, they don't have a mark.
Right.
I'm like, I don't know about this person.
You're like, not so sure.
I'm going to keep my eye on them.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think it's so crazy, too, how you become friends with people that you never would have if it weren't for jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, the friendship. I mean, even like, you know, I'll call like Chris out, but like my now 21-year-old, like best friend, little brother, training partner, I would have never thought, like this wrestler, you know, is like one of my main training partners and like, best friends pretty much. But it's just, it's funny, we have so many different people who come into the gym.
We have people of every ethnic background, religion, any race, everybody, just all ages from about 15 to 65, and everyone just gets along and everyone just has fun. And you know, we have that great in our gym, but it's almost any gym you go to in the world.
Yeah,
you can go to a gym in Europe, a gym in Asia, a gym in Brazil, a gym in California, and you're gonna have incredible diversity almost at all of them. And because we're on the mat together, no one cares who's richest, who's oldest, who's youngest. We don't even really care who's the best at jiu-jitsu.
No, yeah.
You can be an average blue belt, but if you're friendly, good, everyone on the gym likes you, you're going to go a long way. Just like if you're a great black belt, but you're a jerk, no one's going to really want to train with you.
Right, exactly.
It's about who you are and what you're doing on the mat, not just skill, not background, not age, not race. And that's what makes jiu-jitsu. And again, this is a lot of martial arts. You see this in any kind of combat sport where you're going to try to kill each other on the mat.
Right.
You're going to have that. So, and that's what we do every day. So
I love that. That's the best. So how do you, obviously part of your role and job, I would say, is motivating people and helping to keep people motivated. So with people who are used to being in sports or athletes and have been lifelong, I think it's probably a little bit easier
much
for
easier.
You.
Much easier.
But how about the new person that comes in and starts training? How do you best motivate them?
I think with new people who aren't the athletes, you have to keep things in perspective for them. A lot of people come in, and one of the things that a lot of people don't know about jiu-jitsu, don't train, is you always hear from martial arts people who don't do jiu-jitsu, or people who don't do martial arts, but they have a friend or a son or a niece or a nephew. Oh, you know, my 8-year-old son's got a black belt in taekwondo.
Yes.
And when you're coming up in jiu-jitsu, we only have 5 belts: white, blue, purple, brown, and black. And it takes a long time to get any of the belts. So when, you know, I was in college and I'm a purple belt and I've been training, you know, almost 10 years, and people would, oh, you do jiu-jitsu, you know, what belts are you? A purple belt. Oh, my nephew is 8 and he's a black belt, and they don't understand this stuff. So when people come in off the street, they're like thinking, okay, I'm going to come in, I'm going to, like, after a year, I'm going to be a black belt. And when you tell them after a year, you might have 2 stripes on your white belt.
Right.
And so you're halfway to your blue belt. And you have to tell them, like, hey, the goal isn't to get the black belt, because again, not everyone's going to be a black belt. Everyone could be if they stick with it. But the goal is to get in better shape, meet new people, push yourself. Just make yourself better than you were the day before. My coach, Jack, one of the things he always used to tell us is you don't have to get better in terms of 100%. You have to get 1% better. If you're 1% better every day, after a few months, after a few years, you're going to be 100% better multiple times. So when new people come in, you're saying, hey, yeah, you might be getting beat up by everybody in the gym, but when you first started, you couldn't touch your toes. Now you can touch your toes.
Right.
The first time you came in, you wore a size 38 pants. Now you're a 34.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, when you start looking at those, oh, I can touch my toes now. I can do 2 push-ups now. Or I can do 100 push-ups now. Oh, now I'm tapping people. Oh, now I'm a blue belt. And all of a sudden, you're 3 years in and you're a blue belt and you've won the Chicago Open and you're a completely different physical person. Your diet's clean. You have all these new friends. And you're like, that's how you motivate somebody, not saying, hey, you know, you got to go win this tournament. You got to lose all this. It's just, hey, we want to see small things. And if you keep seeing small things happen, all of a sudden big things are going to happen mm-hmm. for you on the mat, in life, everywhere you go. And that's what's – and for a lot of people, they don't realize that coming in. They want to come in 6 months. Yeah. They want to be a
the
champion.
The belt is the goal pretty much.
The belt
much,
is the goal. And, yeah. Or they want to – you know, we get a lot of right. people who don't understand, oh, I want to be a fighter. I want to do the UFC and stuff. And it's like – not saying you can't. But for the majority of people, they shouldn't. They don't need that. They just want to get better, meet people, have friends, get better shape, learn something that they can use in life, not just on the mat, but off the mat.
Mm-hmm.
And when you kind of start showing them what jiu-jitsu can give them and how many different people in the gym it can help,
right.
that's when they start realizing that it's like, oh, the athletic part, the fight part, that stuff's just going to be secondary.
Yeah. They recognize – I think it's about recognizing all the small improvements
yes.
and how far they've come. And, yeah, just focusing day by day. I mean, especially with jiu-jitsu and when you're training a lot, I think you have those ups and downs a little
Definitely.
Bit more where you can get frustrated or – you know, it's more like I'm probably one of the hardest people on myself. I'll give advice, you know, to yeah. others. Like, it's okay. Just stick with it. But I don't take my own advice. And I get frustrated. But, you know, I think that time kind of pushes you through to become even better.
100%. Well, and again, jiu-jitsu is going to teach you about life. You're going to get frustrated in your real life.
Right.
Whether it's work, whether it's a relationship, whether it's your family. And, you know, you don't quit a job because it's frustrating. You
right.
don't quit
no.
a relationship because it's slightly frustrating. And jiu-jitsu is going to be the same way. And since it's on a much more micro level and you can see the improvements quicker and it's a little easier to step back and look at it,
mm-hmm.
it's going to help you get through those harder times in life. I've had so many students over the years who are like, they started with me and after a few years in, they're like, you know, my business has improved so much. I'm deal with my clients so much better. And, you know, they say it's jiu-jitsu, and obviously not like all of a sudden because they're tougher, but it's they understand how to – someone's coming at them and they that pressure someone's putting mm-hmm. on them, they know how to deflect it and deal with it and handle it because they're used to getting that same thing on the mat in a physical way. And this is now in a board meeting or in a meeting with a client over a potential deal. So they start right. understanding how they can use their jiu-jitsu, the mental side of it, as well as just being able to handle frustration and mm-hmm. hard things because you're getting that every day on the mat.
Yeah, you become so much more calm, I think.
Definitely.
Just in dealing with daily situations.
100%.
Yeah, it's just an awesome feeling and just super empowered.
Yeah.
You know, you feel so strong and I think being able to help other people feel that way is probably the most fulfilling thing.
100%.
It's
amazing.
Ask for.
Yeah. It's amazing to watch people who came in who were meek and kind of not really sure of themselves and just didn't really even know if they could get through a class.
Right.
And then hey, coming up to you 6 months later and be like, hey, I want to do a jiu-jitsu tournament. I want to compete. I want to go to the seminar at this other gym. I want to go roll with these people. And you're like, this is the person who was like, I don't know if I can even get through a class. Should I try it? And now they want to go compete. And you know, and it's not like I did anything that special other than give them somewhere to train, but they found it in themselves and you just gave them the motivation and the ability to find that inner strength that they have that everyone has if they look for it.
Well, I mean, I think you've been super supportive. And like I said, you create that atmosphere because you know, some gyms, not most, but some people can be a little bit more where, you know, with loyalty, you can't train
yeah.
elsewhere and they're not big promoters of cross training.
Yeah.
But you, Ilya, everybody, Brandon, I mean, everyone
yeah.
at the gym who's super close to me has always pushed me to go and train
yeah.
with other people and travel and especially with competing and just being able to train with other people, you know.
Yeah.
And it's been the best thing to help grow, I think, my jiu-jitsu. It's great having that team to fall back on and train with all the time, but being able to train with other people and just those relationships that I've created
yeah.
has been, I mean, priceless.
Yeah, I mean, I always joke with people. I've met people in jiu-jitsu who I literally just competed against at a tournament. And then later on, you know, years later, you're traveling around and like, hey, if you need somewhere to stay, you can come stay at my house.
Oh, right.
And I fought this person one time and hung out at that tournament. And they're like, we trust each other. So, oh, yeah, come stay at my house mm-hmm. with me and my wife and my kids. I don't care.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's like, and we've had people, same thing, like somebody you meet at a seminar and you go train with. And all of a sudden, they're like a brother or sister that's in Tennessee or that's in New York or California. And people are like, oh, how long have you known them? Oh, I've only met them one time.
Right. But you know,
yeah,
I trust them. I'm staying with them. It's all good.
You know, in those relationships. And that ability to like see other people and to grow with other people is something that if you are missing in jiu-jitsu or anything in life,
yeah,
you're going to be very narrow. It'd be like if you grew up in a hometown and never leave that hometown,
right?
You can have good relationships and you can understand yourself, but you need to explore the world and explore people. Jiu-jitsu is the same way.
For sure. I mean, I've, as you know, competed against so many people that I've then become
yeah.
like best friends with.
Definitely.
And it's just that soul connection. Jiu-jitsu is such a mind, body, soul.
Yeah.
Feeling, I just, you know, having that relationship with somebody that understands how much work you've put into it and what you're going out there to do and compete. And without each other, we wouldn't be able
No.
to compete or test our skills. Yeah. So I think it's super, you know, people are like, oh, well, how are you, you know, you just competed with that person and now you guys are hugging and you're yeah. all good. And it's like, well, without each other, we wouldn't be able to, you know, be here.
Yeah.
So it's an amazing experience. But I think it was also, you know, super important to me just watching you and how Ilya teaches and, you know, you guys inspire me a lot, obviously, and I never thought I would end up teaching jiu-jitsu, but the fact that you guys supported that, you know, has been amazing because now, almost a year and a half, starting the women's program, I think has been one of the best things, you know, in my life. But I know it's intimidating for anyone to start jiu-jitsu, and I think women especially. I mean, I always trained with guys, you know, all of you were my main training partners, had guys, and that I was comfortable with that. That was okay. But I know that's not always the case. So I wanted to create, you know, an environment where women could come in and learn what jiu-jitsu was about and start training and feel comfortable and safe, learn self-defense, but also the sport aspect of it and just have this whole community and this sisterhood.
Yeah.
And feel, you know, like they have another family of kind of people they can lean on and, you know, support them.
Yeah, for sure. And especially I think for women, it's hard because most of the time, you know, up into this generation of girls who are starting now, where there are women's programs, there are women's only camps, and there are women's only seminars, you had just come in and train with guys, and you were almost always one or two women.
Mm-hmm.
And you were lucky if they were even close to the same size.
Right.
And so oftentimes there was another girl, but, you know, this girl was way bigger or way smaller and, you know, or this girl was there with her husband or boyfriend and she only wanted to train with her husband and boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So now you were like, okay, I have to be put in this awkward situation that's going to be even a little bit more awkward. And, you know, having this environment where girls can come in and learn something about jiu-jitsu, learn the sports side too, because a lot of people don't want to learn self-defense. They say they do, but then when you talk about what real self-defense is and what defending yourself in real life is, it's kind of off-putting. Mm-hmm. You know, people are like, that's a little too extreme at that situation.
Right.
And they, but hey, here's a sport. And then it just so happens that the techniques we use in the sport also are what we use in self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you start getting good at it, you're like, oh, wait, all that self-defense stuff, that was a little bit more, wow, that's kind of some serious stuff. What's what you're doing anyway?
Exactly.
And that's what makes jiu-jitsu great is that what we're doing when we're training together is the same thing you're going to do if you need to defend yourself, just with a much more impetus on having to do it live and hard and aggressively.
Right.
But it's the same things. And that helps for a lot of guys and girls. But for girls, especially just because it's a much more awkward thing that, you know, roughhousing and wrestling around is not something generally promoted for women the way it is for guys.
Right.
Even though it should be because it's a human instinct, not a male instinct.
Mm-hmm.
And I think more and more girls, when they learn it, that's like, oh, this is great. I love this.
It's amazing.
It's not a guy or girl thing. It's a human thing.
Yes.
And that's something that girls coming into the sport now can really explore. And there's so many positive role models in the female community that didn't exist 10 years ago. When I started 20 years ago, you know, to name a high-level female jiu-jitsu player who was not in Brazil like in Rio,
mm-hmm.
didn't exist.
I was going to say, like, how much has it changed? I mean, I know it's changed a lot, but what do you think, like, all the benefits and positive changes are that of seeing more women in the sport?
Well, just it's showing that, one, this sport is for everybody and this art is for everyone. Two, when you bring in more people, whether it's men, women, old, young, athletic, unathletic, you're going to find out what works for the most people. Early in the sport in jiu-jitsu in the 90s and the 80s when it was coming to the United States, it was mainly guys who wanted to fight, you know, professionally, guys who were already a martial artist, like they were karate black belts who wanted to add grappling.
Mm-hmm.
There were guys who were law enforcement officers or prison guards who needed to use this stuff every
right.
day. So everything was very hardcore, very mm-hmm. extreme, because if it didn't work in a real fight against a big, tough guy, maybe on steroids, who's on drugs, you know, he's on PCP and we got to hold this guy down, we didn't really need it. Now, when you have people who are 110-pound girls who want to train for fun and self-defense, you have a 65-year-old guy who comes in who doesn't, you know, he's not trying to get in the UFC, you're getting to more a diverse game, and we're teaching more to what everyone needs to know. And again, the good stuff is still going to work in that real life. You know, we still have police officers and corrections officers and professional fighters who all train jiu-jitsu and all use it, but it's not focused on them anymore.
Right.
Because that's when it really was intimidating. When I came into jiu-jitsu when I was 15.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm like, I can't even imagine.
That gym was full of, and they were great guys. But it was all a bunch of guys who either were fighting, wanted to fight, again, were police officers. There was no like, hey, we're in this new kid's coming in, let's work with him. It's like, we're just going to beat the crap out of him. And if he keeps showing up and he'll get in better shape and then he can beat the crap out of the new people.
Yeah.
And that's how it was. And we're now like, we don't try to hurt guys. We don't like, and even not that they were trying to hurt you, but like they were just trying to say, hey, we're going to put it on you. And if you stay,
then you're good. Yeah, yeah. You're a keeper then if you get through it.
We don't
yeah.
care. No one's making money off this. We're just here because we want to fight each other so that when we go in the street or in the cage or in the ring, we know how to fight. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, very few guys and girls want to fight. Yeah. They want to do this for fun and self-defense and fitness and create, you know, again, have this atmosphere where they can have fun and meet people, not learn to beat each other up. We learn to beat each other up at that secondary.
Right. And I think jiu-jitsu tournaments are definitely a good option for people versus like, oh, I need to go do MMA and fight. Like it's, you know, it's something where you can definitely test your skills. And we have so many options in the Chicago area, especially, but, you know, to travel too. But it's definitely something that I don't think people really think about. And if they want to continue to compete in life, it's definitely a great option.
Yeah. Well, I think just competing in general is something I always tell students, I don't care if you ever compete. And I really don't.
Yeah. There's no pressure for it.
There's no pressure. You know, if you want to compete, that's up to you. Because the main thing is most people want to compete, whether I try to tell them to or not. Because they start seeing their teammates and their friends, and then we see how much fun it is, and they
motivate everybody's like, "Oh my god, I want to do this!" They get excited.
Oh, I get to go to California for the week and go train, and I go do this, and then they're like, "Oh, I want to compete!" And it's like they'll find that on their own. And some people just never do. It's not for everybody, but even if you don't, all the training partners you have are. So when you see your teammate go and win the Pans or go win the Master Seniors Worlds, you know, okay, even if I didn't compete, if I'm training with him every day or I'm training with her every day, I know where I'm at.
Yeah,
I know I can, not saying I'm going to go win that tournament, but if I can give him a tough time, I know my jiu-jitsu is good.
Right.
And that's going to even the competition in class, which, you know, which is one of the main things that makes jiu-jitsu different. A lot of martial arts, you don't actually beat each other up.
Right.
We beat each other up every day because that's the rule set allows. So you know if you're getting better or not. And it's not just like, oh, I think I'm getting better because I can do this kata better. Well, that person used to choke me every 2 minutes. And now they only choke me every 5 minutes.
Right.
Well, I know I'm better.
It's improvement.
That's
it's
improvement.
Progress.
That's
it's great.
I'm getting where I need to go.
But I think everybody gets so excited too, even if they don't compete. You know, I tell the girls too, I'm like, there's no pressure for competition. I know what it's done for me and I absolutely love it. And it's just made me evolve and grow as a person. I think that learning experience of that one tournament can almost take you like, I don't know, it can equate to like 6 months of training or something, just because there's so much, not even physical, the physical aspect of it, but just the mental,
100%.
Getting over that, like stepping on those mats and not being as nervous and the adrenaline dump, all of this. It's, I think it's something really cool to experience for people and to understand, even if they do it once and they don't ever do it again, they know what it takes and what their teammates go through and be able to be part of that experience. But also being able to support your teammates and help them prep and train.
Yeah.
You're part of it.
Well, too, I think with competition, one of the things that I love about competing myself is when you compete, whether it's jiu-jitsu tournament, an MMA fight, anything, you're preparing yourself to do something really challenging and difficult, and you put yourself out there for everyone to see.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to do that in your whole life. You're going to, it's why, you know, not every kid's going to be a great athlete, but I'm one of those people, every kid should play some kind of sport to get used to playing in front of an audience. Because in your life, you're going to have to do speeches.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to give a toast at a wedding. You're going to have to take a test. You're going to have to do some kind of group presentation in college. And if you can't get past that comfort zone and you always are nervous and don't perform well on a test or those things, you go do a jiu-jitsu tournament or an MMA fight. And you're in front of hundreds, if not thousands of people, and this person is trying to beat you up in front of everybody. Win or lose, you're going to be like, okay, I got to give a speech at the wedding.
That's no problem.
In front of a bunch of people I know for 2 minutes, not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
This big sweaty guy trying to choke me for 8 minutes in front of 10,000 people. You know what? I'm not too worried about that speech or that test I'm going to have to take in college.
For sure.
I know what it's like to perform when the pressure is on. And that's where competing is great.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's one time, whether you do it every month, whether it's a UFC fight or whether it's a small tournament in front of a couple hundred people.
Yeah.
It's going to really make things in life, put them in perspective of what's difficult.
Absolutely.
And what's hard to do.
So. Absolutely. Well, yeah, it's definitely like, I mean, I know you hear the motto, like you win or learn. You know, it is. Even if you lose in a tournament, I mean, either way, even winning, I mean, tournaments that I've won, I've looked back and I'm always like, well, I could do this better.
Or yeah, nothing's
this was
ever
good.
Perfect.
Like, nothing's ever going to be perfect.
No.
But, you know, it's the biggest learning experience, I think, you know, that you can have.
Well, again, that's the thing is like, whenever you do anything, again, you're going to do a group presentation at work or you're going to go give a speech at a wedding. It's not going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to realize just because I stumbled on the word here doesn't mean the speech was ruined. Just like in a fight, I get taken down, I go down 2 points, I don't give up. Oh, he scored points.
You keep
fighting,
going.
Go through it, and you can still win. Again, that's the kind of thing you're going to take from competition in jiu-jitsu, but in life, you know, you go to a business meeting and you know, you got to present something, you present something wrong. Hold on, let me restart. You're used to doing that kind of stuff because you've been there in the fight. Where if you don't, that's where you panic and starts going downhill.
Right.
Jiu-jitsu or fighting or boxing or MMA, that's where that's going to keep you going because you're going to make mistakes and you're going to go the wrong direction sometimes.
Absolutely.
You better be like, oops, I better start over.
Yeah.
So,
it's progress, not perfection.
Definitely.
So do you get nervous when you compete ever?
No, I don't ever get nervous when I compete anymore. I used to.
Yeah.
When I was like a white.
I'm like,
blue
did
belt.
You really?
Oh, yeah. Because I sucked at jiu-jitsu when I started. I always tell a story, and it's completely true. The first 18 or so months I trained, I didn't tap anyone ever in the class, anywhere.
Wow.
My first ever submission of a resisting opponent, not like someone just like demoing a move and be like, here's an armbar,
right.
was at a tournament.
Okay.
I armbarred somebody. It was the first time I ever tapped a live opponent, and I had lost my first 9 jiu-jitsu matches before that.
Mm-hmm.
I was 0-9 to start my jiu-jitsu career. And I just was terrible at jiu-jitsu. So I was, I wasn't nervous at all for my first tournament because I didn't know what I was doing.
Right, right.
I was like a 16-year-old kid.
Yeah,
I was fighting a blue belt. I was a no-stripe white belt. I got destroyed.
You're like, whatever happens.
And then as I got a little bit better, then I got more nervous because like, oh, I should be good at this. And I wasn't. And then after I fought MMA, my first pro MMA fight was 10 days after I graduated high school. And you go into a cage, or at this time was a ring set up in a bar parking lot in Lowell, Indiana.
Oh, my God.
And my family and my friends were there, as well as, 1,000 people or so. And back in those old days, this is 2002, we just kind of weighed in. And you two are the same weight. Okay, you guys are fighting. You can wear gloves if you want. the guy I fought had 2 fights already. I was no fights.
Mm-hmm.
He had just knocked somebody out with a head kick the show before.
Oh, wow.
He was a tough guy, and like he didn't wear gloves. So he was fighting bare knuckle, and you could like kick to the head on the ground, and you could headbutt and all these cool things, which we can't do nowadays in MMA because it's illegal.
Right.
And after going out there and, won my fight, then I did a challenge match against someone from the crowd because my fight was pretty easy. So then I fought again in front of all these people.
Wait, a challenge match?
Yeah. Back in the old days, we used to do these things at a lot of these shows would be like somebody from the crowd would be like, okay,
they could
I
just be
fight.
Like, hey, yeah. I want to fight you.
Or somebody came to the show and didn't get an opponent. So, hey, your fight was quick. You didn't get hurt. Why don't you fight this
so
guy?
So fight again.
Fight
yeah.
again. So you do that kind of things. Or like Shuni Carter, who's a famous MMA fighter in Chicago. He used to be a house fighter at a bar in Chicago. And they used to like, he'd fight guys from the crowd, and you'd pay to fight Shoni. And if you won, you won like 10 times the money you paid. If you lost, you kept the money. And he would even fight 2 guys at the same time.
Oh, my gosh.
This was the old days, and, there was no regulation, and it was just us fighting people.
Yeah.
So after that, doing a jiu-jitsu tournament where me and another guy I know are going to grapple with each other.
Right. You're like, it's no big deal.
I don't get nervous at all.
You don't get nervous.
No.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I had to ask, it's like, do you ever, it's like, how does Jeff get? Does he feel nervous ever? Does he have down days, like when he's training, like frustrations?
I mean, I have days where my performance is not good, and I don't get down about those days. Because when you've been doing it this long, I always, any day, like, perfect example is I competed a couple weeks ago at Fight to Win.
Mm-hmm.
The next Friday, we had our open mat, and I had just, taken a couple days off, went off my diet for a couple days just to relax and celebrate. And when I came in on that next Friday, my body just was off. You could tell it going in.
Yeah.
Wasn't fine-tuned. I had been relaxed mentally, just wasn't in that mode of like, I was just getting ready for a match. So when I go in there that day, I just go, okay, today's the day I'm going to work on defense, survival. I'm going to put myself in bad positions and work my way out. I'm going to put myself in submissions and work my way out. I'm going to work with new guys and let them really come at me and just work on those things. Because when you're training this long, you're going to have bad days. It's impossible not to.
And for sure.
And again, the goal is you just show up. If you know it's going to be a bad day, you don't say, I'm going to take today off. Because again,
no,
life,
you got to put yourself through that, right?
You got to go through those things.
Yeah.
And instead, you got to figure out of what you can get out of a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
And again, what I get out of when I'm having a bad day on the mat is I just work on defense and training, and I'm going to let my students offensively attack me. And I don't tell them, like, hey, Jen, I'm going to suck today, so try to choke me really hard.
So go at me. It's okay.
But I want to see how you guys respond. So if I'm not really being aggressive or offensive and I'm playing defensive, are you going to go more aggressive? And are you going to really try to push it? Or, and let me feel what you're doing so I can say, hey, she's getting really good with the cross choke, or she's getting her arm bars feeling really good. Or, hey, they need to be more aggressive with this, especially if I'm on the defensive.
Right.
So I can get as much out of a bad day on the mat as I do a good day. It's just you have to funnel that energy, your expectations, and understand why you're training that day the way you are.
Well, and I think that's really good to hear and be able to relate to that, and everyone listening to this eventually will be like, oh, yeah, okay, Jeff feels that way sometimes.
Everybody
but, like,
does.
This is how I can, get the best and most out of my training.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, like, I always get this from guys and girls, I'm feeling kind of weak or I'm feeling a little off. Well, what you do is you can go in and train. It doesn't mean you have to go in and go as hard as you can.
Right.
Having slow and soft days is one of the keys. Like, there are days where I'm on the mat almost every day, but it doesn't mean I'm going super hard every day.
Yeah.
I might just be teaching. I'm going to work with some of the new people. I'm going to show them things. I'm going to, you know, drill some basics and then just do basic, you know, drills as opposed to I'm going to roll real hard with Jen and Ilya and just, oh, man, I'm going to go home exhausted. Well, no, yeah. That's not. If you do that every day, you're going to have a short career.
Yeah.
Where if you go in and, you know, temper your expectations of how much you're going to train, what you're going to get out of your training, but you're still on the mat getting better, that's where that 1% improvement is going
to
happen.
Totally. I think it's just training smarter and being able to, you know, it's not always about rolling. Like, yes, we love to roll and go at it 100%, but being able to flow, being able to just drill, get reps in and work on things you want to work on and with your training partners.
Work on your bad side. Take a move you're already good at and do your bad side.
Yeah.
You know, to work on, you know, again, escaping and defense. Work on surviving through things. Mm-hmm. Working on things that, like, it's hard to ever want to let somebody choke you all day.
Yeah.
It's not what we want. It's not. It's a bad feeling. It hurts. It's hard on our ego. But if you just say, hey, today I'm going to let everyone I roll with, I'm going to kind of let them get to a triangle choke. And now I have to work my triangle choke escapes. And I'm going to get tapped a bunch of times because I'm letting these tough guys and girls get me in triangles.
But then you get so much better at your defense. And that's really the only way you can do
that. That's why I'm hard to choke, because I get put in chokes all the time.
Right.
You know, if I never was put in a choke, I would panic every time I'm choked. Instead, I'm put in a choke every day multiple times. I've been doing that forever. I've been choked a million times.
I mean, that's one of the things too. I think you guys, you know, and I try and instill this in the girls, but when, especially you're in, you know, on a bottom position and somebody's maybe in side control or mount, just being super calm and collected, you know, being explosive when necessary, but, you know, having somebody that may be like 200 pounds on top of you, you know, that could be heavy, but learning how to breathe and just be calm, like all of that is super important. When you're more spazzy or just kind of flailing, you definitely tend to waste a lot more energy, and just refining like details like that, I think, are so important.
Being comfortable in the uncomfortable is one of the main things you learn in jiu-jitsu. And again, it doesn't, you don't want to be in the uncomfortable situations, but life is full of uncomfortable situations on and off the mat. And if you panic every time you're in an uncomfortable situation, whether it's a job interview, you're on a date, you're on getting smashed under side control, you're not going to have good results. If you can learn to relax, be like, this is a little uncomfortable, but
I'm okay.
I can find my way through this. That's where you're going to have success everywhere in your life.
Exactly.
And that's jiu-jitsu.
So I'm asking this question on behalf of Brandon.
Okay.
But Brandon is one of Jeff's black belts.
My first black belt.
So how do you keep your higher belt students or students who have been training for a long time, how do you keep them motivated?
A lot of it, I think, with obviously, if someone's gotten to the rank of brown belt or black belt in jiu-jitsu, you've put in a decade of work and you've dedicated a huge portion of your life to this. So honestly, like, they're like the competitive students in that. Like, you don't have to give them this nearly the same kind of attention you do a new white belt or a blue belt who's still kind of finding their footing and don't know what jiu-jitsu is. But with the higher belts, I think you need to, one, you need to push them to get better in ways that I don't ever push a white or blue belt to get better. What I expect out of Brandon or Ilya, who are my two black belts, my first two black belts, or Dale and Scott, who are two other black belts I've promoted, is, one, you want to see them compete. You want to push them to compete. Because, again, competition is not for everybody. But if you've put in this time as a black belt, and you, those guys are all world-class competitors, you need to compete more. Mm-hmm. You need to train with different people. You need to go to seminars and learn more. You need to expand your game. Because one of the things about jiu-jitsu is when you get to a black belt level, people think from the outside, oh, that person's a black belt. They're a master. They know everything.
Right.
I'm learning new things all the time.
Yeah.
I'm learning things from my blue belts and my purple belts and from a seminar or from watching a tournament or watching a great instructional clip or something on Instagram from some kid from Brazil who's 19. And so when I'm a black belt, it doesn't mean like I'm done with jiu-jitsu. I can just beat everybody up forever and I don't get to get better. I got to work harder, because that 19-year-old kid or that 21-year-old kid who, while they're my student or my teammate, one of the things, like Kurt Osiander, who's a famous black belt from San Francisco, we had him for a seminar last year, he says all the time is, you're training a group of snakes to try to bite you. Is that, like, I'm trying to teach all my students to get as good at jiu-jitsu as possible so they can beat me up.
Mm-hmm.
So that means I have to get better and better. So as they get better and better, I stay ahead of them. And now my goal is that if I can have a room of 20 guys and girls who are all better at jiu-jitsu than I am, that means my job's accomplished.
Yeah.
The goal is that will never happen, because I'm going to get better and they're going to get better and, you know, we're going to push each other. So you motivate them by rolling harder with them. You motivate them by making them do new things, trying new games with them, so that they have to realize, like, okay, I'm a black or a brown belt, and hey, we've been rolling together for 10 years, but all of a sudden I'm going to start doing different things to them.
Right.
And hey, go roll with the new purple belt who's really good from the other gym, and be like, oh, this game's kind of different.
Yeah, like, oh, okay.
Go get ready for the Chicago Open or go fight to win. And you got to keep yourself going because it's not just, I'm a black belt now. I'm done.
Right. Well, the sport like constantly evolves. Yeah. I think it's just, there's always new things, new techniques that come about. Yeah. And
well, I mean, I always say if you take the blue belt world champions now, they would be the blue belt world champions from 10 years ago. And they might beat some of the black belt world champions from 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. So like, I look at what the blue and purple belt guys and girls we have in our gym and every other gym that come in to visit us. And I'm like, man, I got a long way to go. And I've been doing this for a long time.
They're monsters, man.
Yeah. It's scary how good these people are going to be. And not just the young 20-year-olds, but you know, some of the guys who are 40 years old and you're coming in, you're like, wow, like, this guy's older than me, hasn't been training as long as me, and man, this guy is really good. And it's because he's a good athlete or really has one game that he's good at. So it's like this idea that once you get to a certain level, like, again, you just kind of stay at one spot and just don't have – no, that's not how it works. You have to keep getting better, and your learning curve is so much steeper because for me to improve, I have to work so much harder to add a little bit. When you're a white or blue belt, you come into two classes and you're better than you are.
Yeah,
noticeably.
Exactly.
So that's where the motivation comes in for the higher belts is like, oh, that 21-year-old kid's coming after you.
And I better keep up on my game here.
And I just showed him a bunch of new stuff to how to shut down what you're good at.
Yeah.
So you better amp it up or that kid's going to beat you up. And you're either not going to want to be on the mat anymore, but now it's kind of your life because you're a black belt. So
exactly.
I don't think that's going to happen. So that's the best way to motivate those guys.
Well, it's so funny. I even find just teaching the girls, sometimes I'm like, why am I showing you guys this stuff? Like, it's just seeing how good they get and the progress they make. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm showing them all this stuff. And it's like, now they're, you know, beating me up with it. But it's the best feeling at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, there's stuff that I do and I've been doing since I was like a brown belt. And I really got good at it and understood it as a brown belt. And I learned it, you know, it took 10 years or 12 years for me to learn and get good at and hone and be able to really express. And I'm teaching you guys as white and blue belts. And I'm watching you guys at blue belts doing moves I didn't get good at till I was a black belt. And again, that's the way it should be. You know, you guys should be, you know, learning off my lessons. Mm-hmm. I'm standing on the shoulders of my coaches and so on. So that it should be in 2 or 3 years that a blue belt who comes in and gets his blue belt now should be so much better than a blue belt when I first started teaching or when I was a blue belt or when my coach was a blue belt. Because we've all built on, and again, technology especially. Jiu-jitsu has been incredibly influenced by the internet, as most things have, to the point where like the sport is so different because of access to information.
Right. Well, there's so much out there now with YouTube and everything. I mean, it's just tutorials. And
just the ability to talk to each other. And hey, you know, you can go on a jiu-jitsu forum and be like, hey, I'm having trouble with this. And you have 20 people and 15 of them might be good black belts giving you advice.
Right.
Or like, I didn't even meet a black belt in jiu-jitsu until I'd been training for a few years. And he didn't speak English. So he couldn't really answer any of my questions. So, you know, a purple belt was a unicorn back then. And it was like, wow, that exists in real life?
Right.
Now it's like, oh, there's only 3 black belts on the mat today. Oh, it's a slow day.
You know?
So it's just a different world.
How does it make you feel seeing your students teaching?
It's awesome. This is one thing I have that I wish I could. I wish I had more ability to is like, most of the time I get to see my students teaches in small snippets because they're teaching either like the women's class. And I don't want to say, you know, I've come to the women's class sometimes just because I like to come and watch.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be there all the time or because it's a women's only class. It's not my class. It's your class or you know, the few times, you know, I've come to Ilya's classes. But most of the time you're teaching or Ilya's teaching or Brandon or Chris or anybody's I'm gone.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to be gone in a seminar or a tournament. So, hey, Chris, can you teach class? Or I'm going to go on vacation this week, Brandon. So I don't get to see it as much as I wish I could.
Yeah.
Because, again, if I go to Ilya's class to watch him teach, I'm not at my gym.
Right.
And if I'm having Brandon teach, it's because, okay,
you're
I'm gone for the day. And I don't want to be like, hey, I'm here, but I'm not going to teach. I'm going to make you teach. Because, you know, I just don't feel that's, you know, this is my gym. It's my academy. And not that Brandon's not capable or you're not capable or Ilya's not teaching as well as I do. But this is my job. You guys are
right,
my students.
Exactly.
I want to be giving you as much as I can and not be sitting back on the sidelines and watching you guys teach and just hanging out and watching my phone.
Like you do the work.
Yeah.
That's okay.
So I love to watch my students teach. And I'm always impressed by you and Ilya and Brandon and everyone I see. But I wish I could do it more because I wish I could like just, you know, say, hey, I'm going to take the week off and still be here, but just have you guys all teach.
Right.
But I just can't work that way. I just can't work that way.
Well, I just think it's funny. I mean, like when I first started too, it was like, okay, Jeff's coming in, he's watching me. Like I would get nervous. Yeah. Now it's like totally whatever. It's normal.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think I'm probably one of the, I don't want to say only ones, but you probably get to see me a little bit more just because you tend to be there, come in, you know, I start teaching or, you know, if I'm at the end of a class. But I mean, it has to be just, even with Ilya, like having his school and, you know, Scott running his, and just that feeling of that kind of being passed on.
Yeah.
And
well, like one of the cool thing I was talking about with Brandon, I think a couple of the guys a few months ago was, you know, sometimes we have one of the things that I really am proud of our gym about is that so many of our guys and girls will come in before or after class and drill and work together. Where a lot of gyms, it's just people come in and roll. That's all they do and they leave. Our guys and girls are very, and it comes from the top down. Myself, I was always someone who liked to drill technique. Brandon and Ilya learned that from me. They kind of passed it down to the belts and it's trickled down. But you're watching guys like Chris, who you mentioned earlier, who's 21, is purple belt, and I was watching him work with one of our white belts, Hunter, just who's a beginning white belt, and Chris is showing him, they came in just to drill on their own, and Chris is teaching him stuff that I know Chris has only learned in the last year or two. This is newer stuff to him, but he's teaching it to Hunter, and he's teaching it really well. He's teaching it like he's been doing it forever, but it's stuff Chris uses and he's competed with, and then I'm seeing Hunter do it when he's rolling.
That's awesome.
And, you know, this, again, this is stuff that, you know, I didn't learn until I was a brown belt. Chris is learning as a blue and purple belt. He's teaching it, using it, or learning it, using it, not teaching it to a white belt in the gym. And, you know, that's something to where, like, you know, I can't teach every move all the time. But, like, when this guy comes in and says, hey, I want to work on this, he has one of the upper belts, they come and work. And you see it where it's not like, hey, Chris, come and teach Hunter. Well, no, we're going to help each other because we're teammates and friends.
Of course.
And that's where it's like, and you, it, and that's not an isolated incident. You see that all the time, whether it's, you know, a guy like Dennis, one of our brown belts, who's teaching one of our new guys, Jeremy, something just after class. And then I see Jeremy doing it. And then he's telling the guy he did it to. And it's amazing to see that because, again, it's not like, hey, can you come teach a class? It's more like these guys are doing it because they want to share information with each other. And it's not just the guys who, okay, hey, I know how you want to teach. I'm going to kind of give you a conduit, and I want to give you help, make you a better instructor. These are people who have never said, hey, I want to teach. Like, Dennis never been like, I want to teach class.
Right.
But I know he can, and I see him teaching, and that's where it's like, you know, even though he may not ever think he's an instructor, he is.
He is.
And both when he, you know, I feel more than confident to have him teach a class for me. But two, when you're teaching that white belt something that, I just showed him a move that I do. Well, yeah, that's how we all get better at jiu-jitsu.
Exactly.
And that's what I love to see.
Well, I think everyone loves to help each other out. And I even tell the guys too, you know, just because we have, you know, this women's only class, I want the women to feel comfortable transitioning and training with the guys, because I think it's super important, especially if you do want to compete or not. Just different energies, body types, everything. It's, you know, it's important to feel comfortable training with guys and girls. It just makes you better overall.
Definitely.
But, you know, the guys have been super helpful, but they'll ask me, you know, maybe so-and-so should try this or what, you know, and I'm like, go ahead, like share that with them. And, you know, they've been able to help them, teach them, coach them, guide them through, you know, when they're rolling or drilling. It's like, you know, they want to hear that. They want to hear things besides from just me.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, give them your knowledge, share different things with them. And
well, I always can think about this with jiu-jitsu is like with, and again, because there's so much overlap in all of your normal life. Like, I always joke that, like, you can take somebody, like, as an instructor over the academy, I'm going to tell, you know, if I see an issue, hey, make sure you don't do this, you do that. Mm-hmm. And they hear it. They want to listen to it. But, you know, sometimes when you hear it from a parent or a spouse, you don't listen to it. And then a friend tells you the same thing and you listen to it right away.
Yes.
You know, and I joke about this with my wife all the time. I'll jokingly tell her something and she's like, whatever. And then one of her friends tells her the same thing and she listens to it and does it right
away.
You're
like, I just told you that.
Yeah. And I think sometimes like that's on the mat where if I'm telling them, okay, don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, yeah. And then they keep doing it. And then one of the blue belts tells somebody that. It's almost like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. I should. And it's not that they don't want to or they're not paying attention on purpose. It's just when you hear it from a different person where they hear me say a million things all class, all week, it's, you know, it kind of gets jumbled sometimes. Mm-hmm. When you hear just that one thing from this purple belt or this other blue belt or this other white belt, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's right. And it's easier to process that way.
Yeah.
Where, like, again, if it's you telling the girls all the time, they just hear Jen's voice and everything they hear is coming from Jen's voice. So it's like, oh, and then, you know, Sean tells them something.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It makes sense. Or Mike Fagan tells them something. Oh, because, you know, I'm hearing it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And that just makes it click differently. So I think
and
that's why you need people who are willing to help. Because, again, even something you can be preaching in class, they just don't process it the same way when you hear it from a different voice and a different perspective.
Well, yeah, I think it's good when you hear it from other people. It almost kind of backs that up a little bit, but then they're like, oh, okay, I got it. Or now this clicks and it makes sense. So, you know, I understand that. But it's been, it's just been awesome, like having all the guys being so supportive of the women's classes and just taking everyone in. And I definitely think, you know, it's changed the dynamic a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
well, it's great having this many women on the mat. I mean, it's actually funny. Like when I first started, the first day I walked into the jiu-jitsu gym, I actually walked in and there were like two girls training. My coach's girlfriend and I think her sister at the time, who you know are long gone. I'm probably I couldn't even recognize them if I ever saw them again. But like the fact that there were two girls and I one it was just walking into the gym. I was always from that early point. Okay, women on the mat's normal,
right?
Whereas I soon found out that is very especially in the 90s was very uncommon. Most gyms had no girls or one girl, and you know they were there for a week and never came back. But I think it was actually good in that like there was always girls on the mat for those first 6 months or a year I was around because it just became part of it. And they were way better at jiu-jitsu than me, and they were in there rolling and going hard. And those were the tough and tumble days of jiu-jitsu. It wasn't like okay, you girls just kind of work together off to the side. Mm-hmm. It was like no, you're in there rolling and beating everybody up, and like I said, they could kick my butt. Because I was not good and I didn't know anything and they were tough and had been training a long time. So I never found it like, oh, you know, women in the mat. And some guys, that's how they were brought up. And now, like, you know, in our gym, we've always had, you know, a girl here or there. But now that, you know, you come into a regular co-ed class, there might be five or six girls. And then we have 12 or 15 in a women's only class. You know, anybody who comes in the gym now, there's never this like, you know, women on the mat. It's like, well, yeah, there's a bunch of women on the mat. And
yeah.
Different levels and different belts and they compete and they're, you know, just like everybody else. So it's good that. There's no, it's not going to be something that's awkward or weird or uncommon. And that's just going to make it makes guys realize that this is not their place. It's everybody's place.
Well, it's funny. Brandon always says, he's like, you know, I'm glad like when you started coming in and like now we have all these ladies. He's like, it was getting to be too much of like a boys club. He's like, it's good having like that feminine energy, you know, around. It just mixes it up. And I mean, it's just great. I mean, we're so much like a family, all of us. Yeah. So it's just it's a great thing. But seeing all these women just being really dedicated and consistent and really everyone who started is pretty much still with us now, a year and a half later.
Well, it's because, again, it gets in the blood. It's like a virus. Once it gets in you, it's hard to get out of you.
I love seeing it. It's like people will give up so much to make sure they're at jiu-jitsu or how much they commute or whatever. They're like, oh, I couldn't miss it. I feel guilty missing. It's like you just have to be there.
Yeah, you got to. And if you're not, you're going to be sitting wherever you're
Right, like, oh,
what are we
God.
Doing at jiu-jitsu today? Right now, we'd be working drilling.
Exactly.
So it's like,
it's the best thing ever. I love it.
For sure.
One thing I want to kind of touch on too before we finish up is the fact that jiu-jitsu is great for all ages.
100%.
I started, you know, when I was 31. Mm-hmm. I wish I would have started when I was younger, but I didn't, you know, really, it didn't come into my life. I didn't know about it. But, I mean, we have Stu. How old is Stu?
Stu's like 66.
And he's now retired and like pursuing jiu-jitsu.
And competing like and his doing private lessons with me and like, you know, goes to the pool and swims every day to help his cardio for jiu-jitsu. He's lost a bunch
of
weight.
I mean, it's
incredible. Yeah, crazy.
But I think it's awesome to see, you know, my, like, Jillian is 11 and then I've had, you know, the oldest, I think, woman come in was in her 50s, but it's really, I had a student the other day that brought her mom to class too, and we were doing takedowns that week. And I was like, okay, this might be a little different, but she went with it and it was just awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome to see just so many different ages of people coming in and training. And it's kind of no joke, but I think, you know, even in like masters competitions versus like adult, which adult is usually 18 to 29 and masters is, you know,
30 and over.
But there's old people's strength. And I think people who have been athletes like lifelong or just have been through life situations are so strong.
Yeah.
You know, they've been through things. So a lot of those divisions, I think, are more difficult for me than some of the adult.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing about it is when you if you're doing jiu-jitsu and you're 45 or you're 55, you want to be doing it because you want to be there. Where sometimes you get younger people and they do it because it's cool or they have a friend that does it or they have a parent who wants them to do it or, you know, they have a girlfriend or a boyfriend that wants them to do it. If you're 55 and you're getting on the mat, you want to be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, the stuff like being comfortable in the uncomfortable, you've already went through life and you already know how to process that stuff. You may not understand it on the mat right away, but it's going to come to you quicker. The mental side is going to be easier for that person. And you generally have tempered expectations. You're not expecting to come in and, you know, be the best guy in the gym right away. Where the 20-year-old guy wants to be the best, the toughest. He's not, doesn't know how to handle the adversity as much. He doesn't know how to handle the mental side. So where you might be limited physically in terms of, yeah, you're not going to have the same cardio, you can't recover, you're not as fast as a young kid, you're not trying to be. And if you embrace jiu-jitsu as an older person, like I always joke, I have people when they hear I'm a jiu-jitsu coach or teach martial arts, they assume I train eight-year-old kids all day.
Right.
And everyone's like, oh, you know, how many?
Total
like,
opposite.
And I'm like, I don't, you know, I do a couple, there's a couple kids that I do privates with who are students because their parents train with me. But like our median age is probably 30 to 35.
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
You know, white collar professionals, doctors, lawyers, PhD students, you know, executives, construction workers. And it's like, you know, we have some high school kids and college kids, but most people are – these are people with jobs and families, and they come in and this is their escape. But like, you know, it's not a sport that is only for the 19 to 20-year-old.
Right.
Again, if you want to be a UFC world champ – if you're 35, not going to happen. But if you want to be a world champion in jiu-jitsu, you can start at 45. You know, Sergey, one of our students, he's 53.
Sergey.
Multiple time Master Seniors World Champ. He started in his late 40s.
He's a beast.
He's a beast. And, you know, anyone who rolls with him, like, when they hear he's in his 50s, if they don't know, they're like, oh, I thought he was, like, only 42. Oh, no, he's 53. What? And, you know, and he's like, getting better as he's getting older. And
yeah.
He's going to be a 60-plus-year-old black belt who's going to be beating up a bunch of other black belts and young kids every day. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
I just love it. I mean, I think Masters Worlds has become – is, like, one of the – if not the biggest tournament.
It's the biggest tournament that I believe this year was the biggest of the year. This, Europeans, Brasileiros, they're all multiple thousands of competitors worldwide. So
that's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, where can people find out about all your classes and you? And
You can check out our website, SerafinBJJ, SerafinBJJ.com. Find us on Facebook or Instagram, SerafinBJJ on Instagram, Facebook, Serafin Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Or you can look me up, Jeff Serafin, on Facebook, Instagram. Get a hold of me there. You can come check us out. We're at 2306 Main Street in Evanston, right by the corner of Main and McCormick. Anyone who's interested in training, obviously feel free to stop by, shoot us an email, give us a call. We offer free trial classes for everyone. And obviously, men, women, old, young, kind of open to everybody.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you so much for being here today and for all that you do for me and listen to all my life's problems. It's the best.
It was great being here. Thanks for having me, Jen. And this will be fun and awesome to watch this grow just like the women's classes and everything else we've been doing. So
yes, I'm super excited. And to everybody else, remember, you can send me an email to gettingzenwithjenz@gmail.com for any topics or questions you have, any suggestions for guests that you'd like to hear on the podcast. It's open to you guys as well. And I will see you next time. Thank you. Bye.